Hello again, Hawk fans, and welcome to another edition of the Coach's Corner podcast here on the Kettle Club Podcast Network. My name is Joe Greenwich, and once again, I will be joined by a pair of St. Joseph's head coaches. Softball and lacrosse season are getting underway this weekend, and in just a little while, we'll be joined by St. Joseph's head women's lacrosse coach Alex Cahoe. But first, we're going to chat with St. Joseph's softball head coach Aaron Brooks. The Hawks won the Atlantic 10 North Division Championship last year, got the opportunity to host the Atlantic 10 postseason championship. We'll talk to Coach Brooks about what her team looks like this year, what to expect out of the schedule, see if there's any carryover from that late season success. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Getting very close to the start of the season. It's got to be exciting, especially considering how the last couple of years were, especially around the start of the year. It's got to be exciting to, you know, I know it's early February, but to have things, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, heat up at the time they're supposed to.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm just excited to get started in the weekend that everyone else is getting started, and we're getting tested early. So it feels a bit more normal than it did last year. And I think it's going to, you know, the trials and tribulations that our team will go through, or at least we have the opportunity for them to go through in the first couple of weeks. I just feel a lot more comfortable in the sense that it's really going to prepare us for conference.
Last year, late in the season, the strange start to it didn't really affect your team. You guys went on a great run at the end of the year. You won a division title, which you really don't get to say in the Atlantic 10. And you had a chance to play in the postseason on your home field. There are a lot of players that are back from that team. So how much of a carryover do you think something like that can have? Have you seen it a little bit among the players that have returned? Or is it turn the page, new year, et cetera, et cetera?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think our run at the end last year made our returners a little bit more hungry, which I'm excited to see how that plays out. I also think that it helped, you know, establish them as leaders coming back in these roles that they're in now. And I would say that's probably one of the things I'm most excited about is the leadership that we have on the team, the direction that our culture is headed in, and how well we've progressed and used, you know, the success we had and kind of standing on the shoulders of the last couple of years. So I'm excited to see how that plays out for us.
Now, despite having a lot of players returning, you did lose a significant amount of production at the plate. So when something like that happens, do you go into the season, you know, with an idea of what your lineup looks like every day in that case? Or is it kind of a situation where, you know, a lot of folks are going to get some at-bats, and, you know, if someone gets into a groove or is doing really particularly well defensively, that they're going to get the starting job?
Well, it's a bit of a little bit of everything that you said. You know, to answer the first part, no, we didn't come into season knowing, or, you know, at least believing what this lineup was going to look like. It's going to look different. Our run potential and our production is going to look very different than it has in the past. You know, we did lose some bats with more power, but, you know, we replaced it with a lot of consistent potential. And more wheels, right? So I think it's just going to look different. And that being said, you know, the average to power average that we have returning, you never know what's going to happen with that 1 year more under their belt of experience. And I think one of the things that people don't talk about is that our seniors and our grad senior, in Taylor Marinelli, they're the only class that has gone through an entire real season, for a lack of a better word. You know, when you think about conference, I mean, there's so many variables, and my assistants and I, we talked when we were supposed to, when we had to rank conference preseason poll, it's like, well, I haven't seen some of these teams in multiple years. Like, I mean, as much as you can read on paper and know the recruits they brought in, you don't know. And you don't know how that, you know, building a team has come along in the last couple of years. And so I think I was saying to Jack the other day, I think we're one of the few teams that probably saw the most, I think we might be that team that saw the most conference teams last year, mainly because we were able to play GW and George Mason outside of our pod. And so I think, you know, that will always run to our benefit, I believe. So yeah, I mean, all of the unknowns, it'll be a very interesting year. But I, to your point or to your question, as far as run production, yeah, I think it's going to look a little different, but I think we're going to be scrappy. And that's something that, I'm excited to work out or work through.
To some extent though, that's kind of an issue that you normally will deal with the cyclical nature of, you know, you only have someone on a team for 4 years, but now with the additional COVID year, there are some players back for a fifth. If someone was injured, maybe it's a sixth. And so do you think that this year maybe is a little more so going to be a year like that? Maybe for other programs too, who had seniors in 2020 who came back last year, and maybe some kids who were seniors last year didn't decide to use their extra year. Do you think that's maybe more of a widespread thing for 2022 than people maybe anticipate?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I do think that last year, the majority, there was a good amount of student athletes that stayed their fifth year. I think as we continue on, it will probably get a little less and less in as we get through those years. But I mean, those seniors or those freshmen are juniors now. So it's, I don't know, I guess time flies. It's wild.
Well, we're talking about having people step up early in the season. Who do you see as some potential options to maybe grab a hold of a spot in the lineup that maybe we haven't seen a lot of in the past?
Well, one, you know, Carly Rubinsky's back. She was injured last year. And so, you know, we really haven't seen her since March of 2020. So I think that's something to take note, because she'll be back in the starting shortstop role. So that'll be fun to watch again. As for people that you might have not seen as much, well, Jordan Hinkle, she had a breakout season a little bit last year. She'll be back as a senior in the outfield. And again, a very versatile, pretty dynamic player and fun to watch. So, and then as for some of the freshmen that I think will make an impact, we have Kayla Tauber. She's a middle infielder. She has potential to make some impact for us as a freshman. We have, I feel like I'm forgetting some people, but we have Kaylin Cash is another one who she's versatile. She could potentially be at first at some point. She could be on the mound in our offensive lineup. Carly Smith's another freshman that when she's not on the mound, she's a phenomenal outfielder with a lot of speed. So she's someone even in the offensive lineup could put a lot of pressure on defense that we could be looking for. I would say, you know, those in my right away are the ones that I think that are pretty versatile. We have Haley Melito is another one, Sarah Kinsella. I mean, I could go on and on because we don't know yet what it's going to look like. We have a lot of ideas. I mean, you have Taylor Marinelli coming back. You know, and Alyssa Noriani is another one that, could come out and come alive a little bit more. You know, I'm going to list pretty much our whole team, I think, because that is where we're at. You know, you have Amanda Herr on the mound. She's a senior, has been through ups and downs and seen it all. So, you know, but she's a very consistent arm, and, what she does is, you know, it is very successful. And so I'll be interested to see how she can continue to grow her game this year. And so we have Sage Stutz is another one. Our conference really hasn't seen her, you know, and she's a junior pitcher. So I'll be interested to see how she does this year. Emily Seiler, you know, her game has developed, and she has some lethal weapons on the mound. And I think, once we can kind of tame her a little bit, hone her in, she's going to be very, very effective. So I'm excited. Again, I apologize to my players that maybe I didn't mention, but we have a ton. You got Maddie Fife behind the plate. That's another one. I mean, she's been behind Sarah Ostrzeszewski for how many years now, and she's learned a lot, and her game has really developed, and she had a breakout season offensively last year. So, you know, I think she's probably going to be one of the bigger anchors in our offensive lineup this year. So yeah, there's a lot of potential. I was reading through your questions and I was just laughing myself because I truly don't know. I think every one of our kids has an opportunity to step up, but we'll see what happens.
It's kind of got to be exciting. Like maybe it's daunting to figure out your opening day lineup to some extent, but it's also kind of got to be an exciting thing to say, all right, well, you know what? We've brought these players together for this reason, right? If they're here, they have talent, they have ability, and it's just a matter of showing it really and putting it out there. And so I imagine it's a good challenge to have as a coach to know that you've got a lot of players who are on some level ready for the moment.
Yeah. I mean, just even while you're talking, we have Jess Gagans, another one. She's seen, you know, a lot of innings, and last year we asked her to go to second, and she did it without question, and she did a great job. And so she's another one, you know, that I know could have an impact. And just, I think for us, and I do think, you know, for the first couple weekends, it is figuring out what the best combinations are and what that might look like. And then through the season, everyone's going to be asked at some point, they're going to have their opportunity, you know, to perform. So again, like you said, I do think that is a really exciting, it's also pretty daunting, but exciting to figure that piece out.
Now, you mentioned your pitchers. You returned more than 80% of your innings from last season. On some level, that has to be comforting, especially when you have some turnover in the lineup. And they had some pretty good numbers last year in the top half of the league. So you mentioned the early season when you're trying to, you know, kind of feel out what your lineup's going to be. How much will you be leaning on those arms to keep you in the game and say, hey, look, this is your time to shine and be the rock of our team?
Yeah, I think the beauty of without giving people too much information, I think the beauty of our battery is that they simply complement each other. And I think the test for us as coaches is to figure out the best combinations. And even they differ from game to game. So yeah, I think they're all going to get tested. Especially this weekend, every one of the teams we play is offensively very strong. And so, you know, it's figuring out, you know, who can back each other up.
Well, you talked about getting started this weekend, Marshall, Georgia Tech, and then despite going to Atlanta, you're going to play Villanova. So you've got a non-conference schedule with some challenging games, and everyone knows that the reason you do that is to get ready for the conference season. So what are you looking for, if you can distill it to maybe one or two things, what are you looking for in an opponent that you want to play early on, even as early as your first weekend, as your first exposure to another team?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, you know, the offensively, well, for our pitchers to face a very challenging 1-9 offensive lineup, which we will. So that's no question. And then, you know, on the offensive side is just to see different pitching outside of our own. And it is so, so important. I mean, we've been together for, you know, 4 weeks inside, and our hitters have only been able to really see our pitchers. And so it gets to the point where that challenge needs to happen. And so, and see pitchers that throw differently and should throw different things, which we will see in that in itself. And to be outside on dirt is another thing that we really look forward to. People sometimes overlook that, just, you know, and everyone, well, not, I shouldn't say everyone, I know Villanova hasn't been outside, but, you know, that right there, I mean, you think defensively, we're going to be tough. But yet they haven't gotten a ground ball on dirt since November, I think, November 1st. So, yeah, that's always something that, to say the least, when I'm doing this coaching on the coaching side of things, is a bit nerve-wracking because you just don't know.
That's why everybody heads south to start the season.
Exactly. I think the only comfort I can take is that at least Villanova and maybe Marshall are in the same boat. But yeah, I mean, Georgia Tech's sitting pretty. They've been in their fancy stadium for a minute and just, you know, practicing in that environment.
Well, you'll get the opportunity to be there this weekend. But once you get the conference play, no favors done to the Hawks this year. You start right away with the defending champs. At least you get them at home, and then you're going to go to Dayton and Fordham and UMass. When you see a challenging schedule like that, obviously the competitor in you is like, all right, let's go. You know, the coach in you is like, ooh, like I said, no favors. By the time you get to that part of the season, you kind of know what you are at that point as a team, and you have your lineup and your pitching staff. So how do you approach, I guess, getting to conference play, and then when you're there, just kind of the day in, day out, knowing that, you know, that's really the meat of your season, and the goal is to reach the postseason, and those are the important games in that regard?
Yeah, I think getting there, number one, we have our goals of, you know, for the preseason, and we've been very deliberate about that and our intent and how we're going to use the first three weekends of play to physically get ourselves ready, mentally get ourselves ready on a coaching side of things, to figure out what it is that we need to continue to work on, where are our strengths, how can we be better. That's how we're preparing. And obviously, yes, it gets a bit different. And our in-between games, we really focus in on our opponent at that point. So I would say in preseason, we kind of focus in on ourselves. And then when we get to conference, it's really about those conference opponents and figuring out how to beat them. Our conference schedule is a bit challenging this year. It's a welcome challenge. You know, opening up a GW, I'm a bit concerned about our weather, and whether our field will be ready. I have no doubt we'll be ready for that. And then on the road versus home, that doesn't really bother me. I've actually had teams that have played better on the road than at home, but last year we had a ton of home games. I don't know if you remember that. Just things started going our way, and then we ended up moving games home, our team's used to being home, so that's a good thing. At least for the first two weekends. But yeah, I'm just excited to get back to playing a full conference schedule. You know, we have multiple new coaches in the league. See what they're producing. It's a true unknown. I know our preseason poll is coming out. We are preseason ranked third, which is the highest since I've been here. So I appreciate the confidence that my peers have in our program. And to be honest, you know, that's going to be a challenging mark to hit. Not saying we can't do it. I do think we could. But as you know, when you get into conference, three game series, it's tough to sweep out those series. And, you know, I do think, it's going to be another one of those seasons that comes down to that last weekend to determine pretty much everything, who goes to the tournament.
Well, Coach, it starts this week, February 11th, down in Georgia. Softball head coach Aaron Brooks. Coach, thanks for calling in. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Joe. Have a good one.
And stick around. We'll be right back with St. Joseph's women's lacrosse head coach Alex Cahoe here on the Coach's Corner podcast. The Kettle Club Podcast Network is brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics. Rothman Orthopedics, the official team physicians of your St. Joseph's Hawks, provides the region with unmatched orthopedic care. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.rothmanortho.com. For orthopedic excellence, think Rothman first. And also by Univest. Handle all your banking remotely with the Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure, because life needs a little more wow. Live life, stay connected with Univest. Univest Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC. We're back here on the Coach's Corner podcast. Our second guest today, St. Joseph's women's lacrosse head coach Alex Cahoe. The Hawks reached the Atlantic 10 championship game a season ago. We're going to talk to Coach Cahoe about what her team looks like this year and the schedule in front of them as they attempt to duplicate that feat here in 2022. Coach, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Excited to be here.
Must be excited for the start of the season as well. About to get underway. almost a little more of a normal year than maybe the last couple of years, and we can leave it at that if you want. But how does it feel to, you know, it's early February and you're ready to start?
I know it's the exciting time of the year. You know, this is what all the hard work over fall ball and, you know, all the runs, the workouts, the team bonding that we participate in is what it's all about, is coming together and getting ready for the season to start.
The end of last season, the Hawks reached the Atlantic 10 championship game. I know that you have a different team this year than you did last year, but when you do have players that return, do you notice a carryover maybe into the fall a little bit? And if so, does it carry over into the spring, or is this one of those things where you close the book and it's a new team, it's a new year, last year doesn't matter?
You know, I think that's an interesting question, because, you know, last year I think was a unique year with all of the COVID protocols that we had to follow. However, although it was a challenging year in some ways, it also was a very exciting year in terms of making program history and making it back to the A-10 championship game, which was very exciting for our team. They worked really hard towards that. I think that carryover into this year, it is a new year, it is a new team, but I also believe that, you know, there's excitement carried over from last year, the progress our program made. But then with that, there's also a sense of hunger, right? In terms of, like, we got to the A-10 tournament, we made a lot of progress, but that's also not good enough. And I think that, you know, our team came in ready to work, and it's been great, you know, since the first day school started and we were able to train together. It's been a lot of fun.
Some teams get fueled by, you know, a defeat or an early exit. Seems like sometimes teams can be fueled by success too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, again, it's that you get a little taste of that success and you want more, right? And that's, I think, where that hunger comes from. And I think we are also in a unique situation last year where, you know, unfortunately, you know, we made it to the championship game. Unfortunately, we lost. After that game, I got a phone call to keep my team practicing for the NCAA tournament. That's the first time I've gotten a phone call like that. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in those conversations for the NCAA tournament. I think our team was excited to be in that conversation. And again, I think that's only that success, that taste of success right there, has fueled us even more, and they want it even more now. So we're excited.
So some of those returning players are going to have some big shoes to fill. Three of your top four scorers from a year ago graduated. How do you approach trying to replace those points? And I say those points because you can't replace those players maybe, but is it something where, you know, and maybe you're used to this, as I mentioned with Coach Brooks, every 4 years you're cycling players through anyway. So you're always prepared for players to leave. So maybe it's more of a long-term recruiting vision. Maybe it's, well, instead of three players scoring all these points, we're going to use six. How do you approach trying to build back that offensive firepower when you see so many players that do so well all graduate at the same time?
You know, I think it definitely is a tough loss when you lose top scorers, you know, from the previous year. Again, it's part of, as you mentioned, it's part of what we do, and you know, part of what we have to strategize as coaches with recruiting and building teams. I do think that having, you know, that some of the top scorers and athletes that we did have last year also, you know, with them, you know, they're stepping up in their own way, but they're also helping to bring along underclassmen to step up, and I don't like to say fill their shoes, right? But step up in their own ways and leave their legacy behind with the team, right? So I think those players really did a great job of doing that, you know. And with that being said, moving on to this year, we have underclassmen that are stepping up in ways they haven't before. I think have some newcomers as far as transfers that have come in, and some newcomers that as freshmen that are ready to step up. I see our team in a situation where we have more people stepping up, right? I see us being an offense where we have many midfielders as well as many attackers that can step up and be a threat and put the ball in the back of the net when we need them to. So I think it's a sense of excitement, right, to have more threats on the field that will get us the goals when we need it and help, you know, finish out the games.
Who are some of those returning players that you expect to, you know, I don't want to say break out, but maybe be some of those key contributors? You know, you talk about carrying some of that championship game experience over. Who do you think Hawk fans can expect or should keep their eye on?
Well, Lauren Figueroa, she's a returner for us. She stepped up big time last year, and I think will continue to step up this year as an A-10 preseason player to watch. You know, and I think we have, as far as midfield returners, Sophie Kolka, Emma O'Neill, Riley Evans continue to step up in the midfield.
Now, obviously, as a former goalkeeper yourself, defense has got to be near and dear to your heart. So who will you be counting on defensively? And I know you lost a little bit there as well. Who are you going to count on to be kind of those rocks to help protect the cage and then send the team in transition for scoring opportunities?
Well, we're really excited to have Taylor Newman Farr back in her fifth year. She's definitely going to continue to have a strong presence defensively for us. Lindsay Smith is a senior. She's back stronger and ready to go. And then we have Riley Delaney has stepped up actually as a pretty strong defender for us, and Sammy Tush, another senior who's stepped up. So we're really, really excited for them to really be, you know, the core anchors of our defense and really, you know, make big stops for us, but help push the fast break to score many goals as well.
You mentioned some transfers and freshman class. Who do you expect to be maybe some impact newcomers early in the season? It seems like every year there's always one or two young players or players who are new to the league who really every team, whether it's every team that you're going to play against or every team on our campus even, there's always a couple of young players. Who do you see as potential impact newcomers among the freshmen and your transfers?
Yeah, well, I guess first, as you mentioned, the transfer portal, right? That's been an added piece to our recruiting. And this year, we're really excited to bring in 6 transfers to our team. I think that you'll see many of them stepping up. You know, a couple to look out for: Riley Fusco, Sydney Foster on attack. We have Maddie Oda coming in. Kate Antonelli in the midfield, and then we have Jordan stepping up big time in the cage for us. So, you know, there'll be big transfers for us who come in and have stepped up and you know, merged right within our team culture, which has been awesome. In addition, we have some newcomers within our freshman class, I think, that keep an eye out for. Maddie Yoder has been stepping up in the midfield along with Bella Maselli. And Katie Lala and Mary Rose Berry have been stepping up defensively, right? So we have a great combination this year of returners, you know, sharing their experience, as well as some transfers and some freshmen all coming together and playing some pretty great St. Joe's lacrosse.
When you bring in players who have experience in a different program, in a different school, how much do you rely on them to bring that experience and maybe different approach and viewpoint as much as their skill? Is it something where you're trying to enrich your own program by exposing your players to, you know, these veterans with experience? Or are you just looking at, hey, this is a player who knows how to score, or this is a player who's a really staunch defender?
You know, I think it's a balance to be honest with the transfers. You know, we like to pride ourselves on, you know, really playing St. Joe's lacrosse, right? So in terms of, you know, a couple of things that means, right, is being good people, good teammates, right? But then also, you know, hard work and, you know, really stepping up and looking to win an A-10 championship, right? So we look for players that fit into that. Again, good people first, and then, you know, can step up and help us, you know, athletically and lacrosse wise, right? So we're looking for people who want to come in and be a part of our program and take, you know, a part of our team culture. But then the other part of that is I think they also do add another element of perspective, another element of experience, right? That only just helps make our culture that much stronger. But then also, you know, just adds to our dynamic and our depth on the field when it comes to game day.
Speaking of the games, like we said, they're getting started this week. There's some big names on the non-conference schedule, maybe none bigger than your opponent this week, the alma mater, Maryland, coming to Sweeney Field. This is going to sound like a silly question, but what are some of the benefits of playing those kind of good teams, especially early, when maybe you're not even quite so sure what your team is going to look like? What do you as a coach and as a team really take away from playing against, whether it's a major conference team or somebody who is a traditional power in a not quite as big a conference? What's the number one takeaway you think for the team from those kind of games, aside from the result on the field?
You know, as I mentioned, coming off of last season, our team's hungry, they're ready to go, they're excited and they want to play, you know? So the last time, you know, the returners have played has been in a championship level game and they're ready to come together and compete. I think that, you know, our opener this Saturday versus Maryland, right? We, in order to be the best, we need to play with the best, right? So I think it only builds experience, it builds confidence. And then, you know, again, it just helps fuel our hunger as well as we want to win. Right. And we're here to win games. And I think these non-conference games, you know, again, we're here to compete. We're here to win these games. You know, they also do help prepare us for our A-10, conference games. And, you know, again, help us, continue to define ourselves and who we are, as we continue to prove ourselves as well.
And when you've played against Maryland and Penn State, going up against UMass and Richmond, you're a little more, you know, no slight to those teams, obviously, but you know, maybe you're not as shocked in the moment when you've been in the cauldron already, right?
Absolutely. You know, I think any competitive top competition experience that our team can get, you know, it just only prepares us for that next game, that next competition.
You also have some local matchups on the schedule. Is there any sort of added intensity to those games? A lot of your players, they grew up in this area. They're going to have friends that go to those schools that maybe are on those teams. But even players from outside the area, when you play the same teams over and over, just kind of like in league play, how rivalries and certain things build up over the years. The same thing happens when you're playing Villanova and Drexel every year and teams that are local like Temple. So do you notice an added intensity to those games? Like, it's kind of like, it's not a league game, but it's like an early season league game when, you know, Temple's coming and, you know, oh, they beat us last year. We barely got by them, et cetera.
Absolutely. I think that the local rivalries just add an extra, you know, chip on our shoulder. I think we like to play consistently with a chip on our shoulder, but, you know, we know, you know, whoever's having a better season, you know, again, whether it's St. Joe's or our opponent going into that game, it's always going to be a battle. Right. And I think that, you know, that those crosstown rivalries are huge and always something to prove, between the teams. Again, a lot of them, you know, maybe their high school or club friends, you know, went to some of the local schools, and I think there's something to prove there. Right. And, you know, we're excited. We have Villanova and Temple out of the schedule, and then, you know, LaSalle once we get into conference games, right? So those are always, every game's a big game, but the local rivalries add a little something special in the air on game day.
When we talk about local rivalries, I mentioned playing the same teams over and over again in league play. Back to a full league schedule this season for the first time really since 2019. So how do you see the league shaping up this year? Obviously, I mentioned UMass and Richmond for a reason. They are perennially the class of the league. Last year, the Hawks knocked off the Spiders in the postseason, dominated the Spiders in the A-10 semifinals. So how do you see the league shaping up? Are we looking at the same teams targeted at the top, or do you think there's a shakeup somewhere and maybe the Hawks are the team to do it?
Of course, I think I'm always with the Hawks. The Hawks are definitely gonna do it. You know, we're here to win an A-10 championship, and we love to win. You know, but I think, you know, one thing that makes the A-10 conference of women's lacrosse, I think, so special is how competitive it is, right? And you mentioned UMass and Richmond, both great teams, and I think you know, Davidson has stepped up as well. I think this year, what'll be good to get back to, you know, last year we played in a north and a south pod, right? So we actually didn't have the opportunity to play Mason, GW, Davidson, VCU, Richmond, right? So I think it'll be exciting to get back to where we're playing all nine of our opponents. But again, I think, you know, similar with our local rivalries and our A-10 rivalries, you know, again, there's something special in the air, and everybody steps up on game day. Again, we're looking to win that A-10 championship, and you know, we're excited to get going and start competing.
Well, then my last question, maybe it's an easy one, maybe it's an impossible one to answer. What do the Hawks have to do to get back to the title game to get another crack at winning that A-10 title?
We need to take it one game at a time, keep focusing on ourselves, keep playing St. Joe's lacrosse. I think this team, more than any other Hawks team I've had, has been the most connected team on and off the field. The team culture is unbelievable this year. And I think, you know, we continue to maintain that, continue to work hard, continue to stay disciplined, have each other's back, and put it all out there on game day. I think it's going to be a pretty awesome season.
Well, Coach, good luck. Starts this weekend with Maryland coming to Sweeney Field, 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. St. Joseph's Women's Lacrosse Head Coach Alex Cahoe. Coach, thanks for joining us. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Joe. Go Hawks.
Our thanks to Coach Cahoe and to softball head coach Aaron Brooks for joining us on this edition of the Coach's Corner podcast. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Be sure to subscribe to the Kettle Club Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can also find us at sguhawks.com/podcasts.